Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is Moses' last words to the children of Israel. He gave a rather long speech to them, and then the Lord took him up on the mountain, and that's where he fell asleep, went to be with the Lord. He makes this statement here in verse 9 that I want to look at today. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to a thousand generations. That's what I want you to think with me for a few minutes this morning, on the faithful God. Our God is the faithful God. Our God is the only God. He's the only true and living God. There's a lot of little gods, but there's only one true God, and that's our God. And our God is a faithful God. And ever since the fall of man in the garden, you and I have lived in a world of unrest and confusion and strife. Everywhere we looked, we see the unfaithfulness of man. Even the best of men have the potential and the capacity to be unfaithful. David said, man in his best state is altogether vanity. We sometimes disappoint one another, don't we? I've been disappointed by my closest of friends, and I have disappointed my closest of friends. Job said this, my brethren have dealt deceitfully with me. My own brethren. And the Apostle Paul says, Demas has forsaken me. Demas was his close friend, an ally, a preacher of the gospel. And he said, he's forsaken me. And in another place, he said, all they that be in Asia have forsaken me. And Paul warns us of the last days, and he said there would be perilous times. And then he defines man's attitude in those last times. He shall be a lover of his own self, and proud, and boasters, and blasphemers. And he goes on and lists the awful attitudes that will be in the last day. And you and I are beginning to see some of that, aren't we? And it'll be a trying time. It'll be a perilous, a dangerous, lawless times. And there won't be many people you can trust in these last days. The prophet Micah was feeling some of this in his day. He said, the son dishonoreth his father, and the father dishonoreth his son, and the daughter-in-law dishonoreth her mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law dishonoreth her daughter-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be they of his own house. That's what causes so much confusion and strife, isn't it? We cannot put our trust in man. It was said of the Lord Jesus that he came into his own, and his own received him not. And you know, there was a time when not only his own nation forsook him, but his own chief apostles forsook him. He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? While he sweat drops of blood, they slept. The disciples slept while our loving Savior wept. And he said, all of you shall forsake me and leave me alone. And David said it like this, I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man who would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. And we're told these things that we may take our eye off of the creature for a refuge, and off of our chief friends for help in time of trouble, and place our confidence in God who is faithful. Micah said this, trust ye not in a friend. Don't put confidence in a human guide. And then he says it like this in the very next verse, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. God will hear me. And then he says, rejoice not against me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And there's a lot of dark places in this world. But we have a light. And that's our God in Jesus Christ. And David said this when he called all men liars. David said, I've just found that the best of men have the capacity to lie. And then he made this statement. I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. When my father and my mother forsake me, could that happen? It might. But he said, when that happens, the Lord shall take me up. The Lord is faithful. Is there a refuge in this fallen world? There is. Is there encouragement in this world of disappointment? There is. Is there comfort in this world of strife and conflict? There is. Is there help for us when all creature helps fail? There is. And where is it found? In our faithful God. Know ye therefore that your God, He is the faithful God. Devils can't be trusted, can they? We sure not to put our trust in devils. There's a church out west, that First Church of Satan. And they pray to devils, pray to Satan. They admit that. There's no help for Satan. He's the liar and the father of it. We're never told to put our trust in the elect angels, the holy angels. Do they have the capacity to fail? If God didn't uphold them, they would. We sure can't trust ourselves, can we? But there is one that we can trust in, and that's the faithful God. We can't put our trust in anybody, brothers and sisters, but Him. And Peter says it like this. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Here's the difference between God and everything and everybody else. Everything and everybody else is creatures. But God is the Creator. The creature may not be faithful. The creature may fail. But God cannot fail. And God can never be unfaithful. Therefore, commit the keeping of your souls to Him as unto a faithful Creator. This word faithfulness and faithful, the dictionary and some of the great writers of old, they give this definition of what it is to be faithful. It means trustworthy, honest, sincere, fixedness or firmness, a standing firm, immutability, unalterable continuance, a permanent state, a persevering resolution, a lasting affection, stability in love and friendship, a certainty, the reality. Isn't that amazing? You go back and look up those words and see what faithfulness means. And it all applies to our God who is faithful. In the midst of uncertainty and unrest and conflict, here is the comfort. Here is where our confidence must be placed. Our God is the faithful God. Here in our context of this verse, Moses is reminding the children of Israel of his faithful promises to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. He called the iron furnace. And I want you to look back in chapter 6 and see the context of this. In chapter 6 and verse 20. He was teaching them what they must do when they enter the land of Canaan. And when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what means the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then you shall say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. Which he swore unto our fathers. And what Moses does here, he takes the children of Israel's mind and their memory 430 years before this date. And he says, you were delivered from Egyptian bondage that God might fulfill his promise that he made to Abraham 430 years ago. That was a long time, wasn't it? But he said that's why he brought you out, to fulfill that promise. Even though it was so long, in God's time, they were brought out. And that tells us something, doesn't it? When God makes a promise, he never forgets to fulfill it. He never fails and he never forgets to fulfill it. Moses said he brought you out. He brought you out with this mighty hand that he might bring you in to this land of promise. And he says here in verse 8 of our chapter 7, and because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. See what he keeps reminding them of? God is faithful to his promises. No matter how long they may hang out there in our eyes, when it comes time, he will fulfill his promise. God is faithful. I want to give you five things concerning God's faithfulness and some things that are attached to his faithfulness and why his faithfulness cannot fail. Whatever God promises, it must come to pass. His promises will be fulfilled because God is faithful. God's faithfulness is vitally attached to his ability, to his power, to his might. God never outpromises himself. He makes some great promises, but he makes them because he knows that he has power to keep them. He says here in chapter 7, and look in verse 1 and 2. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land which thou goest in to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show them any mercy. And look what he says to them in verse 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I depossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all the Egyptians, the great temptations which thine own eye saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they are not left, and hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted of them or at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and awesome. He's terrible. And what he's saying here, God has promised you this land. And when you look at those cities whose walls seem to be walled up into the cloud, and when you see those men with their spears and their swords and their shield that look like giants, and you see the people are without number, don't be afraid of them. Because the Lord your God is a mighty God, and he will fulfill his promise to bring you into the land because of his might, because of his power. So God knows that we'll have our doubts. He knows that you and I have enemies that we're afraid of. But he's promised through us that his truth shall prevail. We just heard of it, didn't we? And if he's not mighty, if If he's not the Almighty God, he'd never make that promise. Listen to how Abraham thought about the promise of the Lord. The Lord came to Abraham and said, you're going to have a son. Abraham was 75 years old. Then he got to be 100 years old. And he hadn't had a son yet. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. How did Abraham feel about that? Having a son in his old age. Listen to what Romans 4 tells us. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. He had the ability, he had the power and the wisdom to perform. And this is what Sarah said about having a child when she was 90 years old. Through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. God never outpromises himself. He's faithful. Abraham said he's able, and Sarah said he's faithful. And because he's faithful and because he's able, she said, I'll have a child. Just as he said. And did she have a child? She sure did, didn't she? Our God is the faithful God. Secondly, God's faithfulness is vitally attached to his immutability, his unchangeableness. He never changes. He never gives a promise. And then somewhere down the road and says, well, I've changed my mind. Something has happened. I've had to reevaluate the situation, and I've changed my mind. Listen to what Hebrews 6 tells us. When God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. What does it mean for God to swear by himself? One thing it means to swear by his immutability. In verse 18 of that chapter, he says, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. There's two things about God that forces him, if nothing else, to keep his promise. He cannot lie. And he's immutable. He cannot change. We sang about that, don't we? Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. And one of the things about his faithfulness and the greatness of it is his immutability. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. I promised you as a nation you'll endure forever. And he said, I will not change. Therefore, you shall never be consumed. Our Lord Jesus Christ made this promise to his church over 2,000 years ago now. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. Brothers and sisters, it's been 2,000 years. Has he forsaken his people? Has he forsaken you? No, he hasn't. And he never will. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He'll never change, will he? And until you have him changing, you can trust his promises. He's a faithful God. Oh, change and decay, the song says. All around I see. But oh, thou who changeth not, abide with me. I know nothing more comforting to the saint, especially in our day, than to say, my God is a faithful God. Thirdly, God's faithfulness is vitally attached to his holiness. We just mentioned the fact that God cannot lie because he's not a creature. All creatures have the capacity to lie if God don't keep them from it. Devils lie. Satan is a liar and the father of it. Men are liars. We can't trust one another very far, can we? But God is not a creature that he should lie. He tells us that, doesn't he? God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it? And shall he not do it? Has he spoken it? And shall he not make it good? Peter told us that verse to commit ourselves unto God as unto a faithful Creator to encourage us that in these dangerous times there is one who is faithful. He cannot lie. Therefore, commit yourself to Him. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him. The body they may kill, if God permits. They cannot touch our soul. Your soul is eternal and precious. Commit it to God in Christ for the safe keeping. You'll find Him to be a faithful God. And why can He lie? Because He's not a creature. He's the Creator. He's eternally different from you and I. And this is our hope, that He is. If He's like us, we have no true hope. He may fail, but He's not like us. And one of the essential differences between Him and us is that He's holy. He's essentially holy. And He can never change in His holiness. Therefore, He's faithful. Here's what He said to David. Once have I sworn unto you, David, by my holiness, that I will not lie. He swears by His holiness. He swears by Himself, and He swears by His holiness. Why does He swear by His holiness? Well, if you're holy, you cannot lie. If you're essentially holy, so He says, I swear by my holiness. I will not lie. I cannot lie. Therefore, I can be trusted. Fourthly, God's faithfulness is vitally attached to the honor of His name. It's vitally attached to the honor of His name. If God is not faithful, what's He going to do to His great name? If God lies, what will that do to His glorious name? When you and I are caught in a lie, people lose their confidence in us, don't they? I try to be so careful not to lie or to be caught up in a lie. I want to be faithful. Because when people catch us in a lie, what do they say? Bruce Crabtree lied to me. I just don't have the confidence in him I used to have. I don't trust him like I used to because he lied to me. And I don't want that to happen. I've had that to happen to me. People lie to me and I lose a measure of confidence in them. You'll never have a reason to lose confidence in God. Because He will never lie unto you. And why won't He? Because of His name. He would never do that to His name. When Israel came into the land of promise, they came up to this little town of Ai. Just a small place. They didn't even pray about going up. They just went up and said, we can whip them. God's given it to us. But they had sinned. And the Lord was going to chasten them for it. So a few soldiers came out of the city of Ai and just whipped the dickens out of them. Killed a bunch of them. Joshua went back and fell on his face. And he said, Lord, I don't know what's happened. You've given us this land. You've brought us into it. And now we've fallen before our enemies. And if Egypt hears about this, that you brought us up here just to destroy us after you promised us, Lord, what will that do to your name? What will that do to your glorious name? And he realized, wouldn't it have been awful if the Lord had brought Israel in, then let these nations destroy them as a nation? Put out their name from under heaven? That would have been awful. But there's something that would have been more awful than that. God's name. God's honor was at stake. And Joshua pleaded that. When Moses stood before the Lord and was the mediator between the Lord and the children of Israel, when they sinned, and the Lord said, just leave me alone and I'm going to destroy this people and I'll make of you a great nation. And boy, Moses, he knew how to plead. He knew how to be a mediator. He said, Lord, you can do that. You're God, you can do whatever you want to do. But if you do that, what's all these nations going to think? That you made a promise and you didn't keep it. What's that going to do to your name? To your character? God's jealous of His character, isn't He? He's jealous of His name. He will not dishonor it by breaking his promises. Old John Jasper, the old black slave, I love to read after him. He had all this assurance. And he went around telling everybody, I'm sure for heaven. I'm sure, but he just lived with that assurance. And they asked him one day, John Jasper, what if you get up to heaven and the Lord don't let you in? He said, well, if he don't let me in, there's one thing for sure. I'm going to be the worse for it. I'm going to lose my soul. But he said, if after I put my trust in the Lord, after I've trusted him with all my heart to be my salvation, if he don't let me into heaven, he's going to lose more than I do. I'll lose my soul, but he'll lose his honor. And that's what's at stake, isn't it? God's honor. He's jealous of his name. And he's not going to do anything, brothers and sisters, to dishonor his name. And we can plead that, can't we? Fifthly, the faithfulness of God is vitally linked to the saint's security. If God is not faithful, there's no saint that's secure. Not a one of us. Let us talk about our faithfulness and put our trust in ourselves. I've heard these poor preachers, especially the Free Will Baptist preachers, always preaching. They're always talking about how the saints are going to fall away. They're going to fall away. But sometimes ask them about themselves. What do you think about yourself? Oh, I'm not going to. I'm going to be faithful. So your trust is in your faithfulness? If God removes His faithful hand, there's not a one of us secure. I don't care if you're not an apostle or a prophet. Our trust, our security is in the faithfulness of our Lord. I mean from start to finish, brothers and sisters. Listen to this passage about the forgiveness of our sins. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, guilt breeds fear, doesn't it? That's why that young mountain climber died in his sins and he felt so guilty and afraid to face God. Will God forgive my sins, he said, while dying. But forgiveness breeds courage. If you know God has forgiven your sins for Christ's sake, and when you fall into sin, God forbid, you go to Him and confess it. He's faithful to forgive you. It doesn't matter what you face in this lifetime. If you know that God is faithful and has forgiven you and washed you from your sin, that breeds courage. You can face your adversaries, your enemies because of it. You can face your chief enemy, Satan and death, life and living. If God has forgiven your sin, and here's the confidence we have in Him. Every day, when it comes time to lay our head on our pillow and we remember this sin that we've committed, we confess it with this confidence that God is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful in keeping His people in the midst of this troubled world. Oh, our troubles would destroy us, would it not? You face enough trouble. You face enough heartaches and enough trials. If God don't uphold you in them, I'm telling you, they'll destroy you. We have these feelings, and we don't always know what they're about. We can't put our finger on any difficult we're going through in our lifetime, but it's this burden, and it presses us down, and we don't even know why. David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I don't know, but I am. And I know that feeling alone presses me down, that it would destroy me. Hope thou in God, David said, who shall yet be the help of thy countenance. David said, men would swallow me up, and trouble would swallow me up. But Paul the apostle said this, he said, pray for us that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Oh, people betraying you, hurting your feelings, offending you. He said, all men have not faith. And then he adds this, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. That evil, what that would destroy you. He'll keep you from it, or he'll keep you in the midst of it. And this is what our high priest prayed for while he was still upon this earth. Father, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to keep them from the evil. I can almost hear the Father in heaven answering him and saying, my son, I'm faithful. I'll do it. I'll keep them from evil. Our Lord is faithful to uphold his church as she witnesses for him in this rebellious world. You know why the church hasn't failed till now? I know unbelief in the church, unbelief in the best of men in the church. And boy, the church has had her struggles, hasn't she? Strong enemies she faced. J.C. Ryle said, the church is a standing miracle in every age. And why is that so? Because the Lord has upheld her. Paul said this, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Every one of them forsook me. Then the work's going to fail, Paul? You can't go on? It has to be given over to the kingdom of darkness? No, no, no. He said this, but the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be clearly known. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord will either keep you from going into trouble. If it's his will that you go into trouble, he'll keep you in the midst of that trouble until the time that he's appointed to deliver you out of that trouble. And he's faithful to do that. I don't wonder anymore. I used to wonder 10 or 15 years ago. I wonder that I'd been able to preach for 30 years. Every Sunday I'd go home amazed that I was able to make it another Sunday preaching. I've been preaching for 44 years now, but I'm not amazed at it anymore. And I tell you why. I know who upholds me. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If it was left up to me, this poor flesh would have broken down by now. But I continue because my God, your God, is the faithful God. I told you, I don't know, probably a year ago, I told you about a temptation that I was having in my mind. It was awful. It's gotten better. It's gotten better. I haven't been delivered from it. It's gotten better. And you know the verse that has helped me and strengthened me through this? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way for your escape, that you might be able to bear it. I bore this temptation for well over a year, but I'm not yielded to it. Why? God is faithful. He's faithful. Paul gives the Lord's faithfulness as the reason that our hope someday will be realized. Listen to how he says it. He says, you're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's what he told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. He shall confirm you unto the end. He's begun a good work of grace in your heart. He's given you a new heart. He's begun a work of faith. And he'll continue that work. He's faithful until his coming. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He's called us, hasn't he? Somewhere back there in your life, he called you. He called you by the gospel. He called you to himself. And is he not still calling you? He is, isn't he? You'd quit coming if he quit calling you. And he's going to call you all the days of your life until finally he calls you home to be with himself. And it's all because he's faithfulness. Two verses in closing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Listen to this. Paul said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. All that God has revealed, brothers and sisters, in his word, hold it fast. Don't let go of any truth. Hold steadfast your profession of faith." And then he says this, "For he is faithful that promised." Hold it fast. Stand fast and hold it fast. And Peter says this, "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Don't give up hope. When trouble comes, when trial comes, when conflicts come, when your heart is troubled, when you're cast down, hope to the end. Your faith and your hope will be realized. Your faith will end in sight, and your hope will end in heaven. Why? Because your God is the faithful God. Lord, we thank you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Our triune God, we thank you. We found you to be faithful in our experience. We found you to be faithful in your word and to your word, to your gospel. Father, to your son, to your people, you're faithful. You're faithful in your threatenings. You're faithful in your promises to bless. We praise you for it. We can never worship another God, only the true and living God, our sovereign God. We worship you because you're a God who cannot fail. We thank you for this dear people who have come here today seeking your face, desiring to hear from heaven. I pray that you'll take this message home to all the hearts, that we all may enter into the surety of it, that you're the true and faithful witness. We thank you for this dear ladies that have prepared a meal for us today. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. We thank you for it. And bless us as we fellowship and talk one to another. May our talk and conversation be wholesome and edifying. For your sake, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your patience in listening to my voice. Was it hard? You feel sorry for me? It's tough. It's tough having to listen to a voice. I told somebody I was getting ready to put a bag over my face. I was